good morning, everybody. It is a privilege to stand here again, and it's crazy that it's been 2 months since I was up here last time. Time goes fast, but I trust that the Lord has been walking with us and teaching us and helping us grow as a church, and it just reminds me of where I was at 2 months ago to where I'm at now. Season of life changes, and our walks with the Lord change sometimes based on where we're going in life and how that looks. And so right now, I did print out an outline. It's in the back there. If you guys don't have one, feel free to grab one there. If not, get your Bibles ready, because we're going to be going through a lot of scripture here. And my daughter says, my dad's up to me, so. Let's bow our heads, have a word of prayer, and let's get on to the lesson that the Lord has placed on my heart today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just stand before you as a humble man. And Lord, I just pray right now that you would just fill me with your Spirit. Lord, that you would allow me to proclaim the gospel with boldness. And Lord, that the truth can be proclaimed and received. Lord, I just ask these things in Jesus' name, and I pray that the church would be edified and that you would be glorified. Amen. Amen. So if you have the outline, you'll notice that I've labeled it the life of a believer. And if you're here this morning, I trust that you're here because you are a believer in Christ and you're living out life. And we as Christians need to get direction and instruction from the Word of God on what the life of a Christian looks like. What does a believer look like? Because if we're being honest with ourselves, there's so much heartache and tragedy in this world that we need to learn how to accept life that it is, allow Jesus to flow through us so that other people can experience a touch of Christ through us. We are living in a dying world, and Jesus is the life. He is the one that we get our source of life from. And so we need the Holy Spirit to regenerate us moment by moment and help us. But you can't have that happen until you're saved. And so we need to keep things in order. And so I want to teach people or reaffirm things of the Scripture that talk about salvation and then talk about sanctification. Talk about walking with Christ and what that looks like. And so we're going to open our Bibles to Romans 8. And I'm going to read the first 17 verses here, and that'll get us started. And it's the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Rome. And most people get their church doctrine from the book of Romans. And so a lot of times you will go back to these scriptures, and they're very common. But the more you read them, the more you realize that the Word of God is living, and God will use His Word to speak to you differently at different times in His in your life. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but ye in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He hath raised up Christ from the dead. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if the children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together with Him. They're glorified together. And so, again, I think people are probably familiar with this set of scriptures, but I want to focus in on learning to walk in the Spirit. The phrase walking in the Spirit. And Romans 8:1 starts us off, and it just says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." The Bible is drawing a contrast and a comparison between the people of the flesh and the people of the Spirit. And before we can live in the Spirit, we are born of the flesh. We all came from our mother's womb. We were born physically. But Jesus says that we have to be born again, spiritually, to be able to walk in the Spirit. And so, we that are saved are walking in the Spirit. But are we living in the Spirit? Because I think we can draw a comparison too, that just because you're walking in the Spirit does not mean that you're living in the Spirit. We need to live in the Spirit moment by moment. I think I liken it to walking in the Spirit. If you look at Romans 8, is a salvation moment. When you're saved and you're in the Spirit, you're able to walk in the Spirit. You're able to live in the Spirit. But it doesn't come without dying to the flesh. It doesn't come without, like Pastor said, being taught certain things. We need to be admonished and educated after we're saved. And the Holy Spirit is going to teach us. The Holy Spirit has promised to lead us into all truth. But also, we do need teachers to help us on things, to build a foundation, to build principles. And that is how we learn to live and walk in the Spirit. Romans 8:9 clearly explains that once the Spirit of God dwells in you, after salvation, you are considered in the Spirit and not in the flesh. I believe that this is a positional statement and doesn't teach that once you're saved, you won't sin or manifest the works of the flesh. Because if we're being honest, after we're saved, there are things that we did that we should not have done. And some of them we didn't even know that they were wrong. We had to be taught that they were wrong. And we have to understand how to work through that. And I do think that learning how to transform our minds is the hardest thing after salvation. But the only way that we can do it is by washing our minds by the Word of God. Renewing our spirit by having the Lord teach us. Have the Word of God infused into our hearts and our minds. And it's easy to come on Sunday morning and to listen to preaching. For some people it's really hard. But it's harder for people to wake up in the morning and read their Bible every single day. It's harder for them to get into devotion every single day. It's hard for them to meditate and dwell on the Word of God all day, every day. But that is what we as believers need to strive towards. Because this world will toss us to and fro if we do not have our anchor centered on the foundation of Christ. Galatians 5:16 and 5:25 we'll read here. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so, once we're alive in the Spirit, we're living in the Spirit, what are we doing to move? Where are we walking to? How are we walking? And when we're walking, are we bringing praise and glory to the Lord? Because when we're saved, we're alive in Christ. We've been quickened by the Holy Ghost. But therefore, if you feed the flesh and you don't die daily to the flesh, it's easy to get into a rut. And I'm not talking just off into crazy sin. I'm talking into complacency. I'm not praying as much. I'm not reading my Bible as much. I don't care about that person like I did 2 weeks ago. We get hard sometimes, and we need the Lord to revive us. We need the Lord to teach us. And He gave us the Bible, and He's preserved it. And then He put His Holy Spirit inside of us after salvation so that we could have the desire to do the things that please Him. But we still need to learn how to apply that to our life. And we need to apply it so that the dying world can see. Jesus has changed me. There's hope. Because Christ in you is the hope of glory. Amen. And if Christ be not in you, then you need to get right with the Lord. And we're going to move on to the next section. And it is, we must be born again to be considered in the Spirit. So John 3:5, this is Jesus Christ addressing Nicodemus. And it says, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." And so, if you're familiar with this story, Nicodemus is a little perplexed, he's a little confused, because he legitimately asked Jesus, how does someone go back into their mother's womb a second time? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And Jesus says that you have to be born of flesh, and you have to be born of the Spirit. And I believe what he is talking about there is the Spirit of God is the second birth. That's the spiritual birth is when you're born again. It's when you're saved. The first birth is when you're born a son under Adam. You're a sinner by nature. You're going to choose sin. At some point in your life, you're condemned until you're saved. And so we need to understand that Jesus is teaching born again for salvation. It's something that, it's not just you're a born again Christian because that's the church label that we've given you. No, it's Jesus Christ has instituted this. Ye must be born again. So the spiritual birth is a real-time event caused by God. And this new creature is what gives us the ability to fill God's will for us on earth. The new creature, inner man and new man, are all ways to show the life of a saved believer. And so we're going to get into this new creature because once we're saved, all things should be changed. And obviously they're just not all changed experientially, what we see. But what I believe is talking about is God gives us a fresh start, and he gives us a spirit for a clean desires, and for us to be able to judge between good and evil. When you're not saved, you have a conscience, which navigates your good and evil, but you can sear your conscience, you can have your conscience redirected. When the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, it's concrete. He doesn't change. He is leading you into that truth, and his desires are authentic. And so we need our conscience to be at ease with what the Holy Spirit is teaching us. And if we're out of step with that, our conscience will not give us the confidence to open our mouth and will make us say, you shouldn't do this because you did this or whatever. We allow the devil to play mind games with us or our flesh to take over in certain times. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit. And we need to understand that it's not this heightened emotion either. The Spirit of God is straight out of the Scripture. And when you read the Bible, it's not this ooey-gooey feeling all the time. Like, sometimes it's God just, like, shows you the truth and says, wake up. That's what he does to me sometimes. And it's like, we just have to be attentive to what he says and then say, all right, if you're teaching me it, Lord, what do I do with this? Because it's not just for me. The Lord wants us to extend our love and reach to people around us. And I think it's in our families, but it's everyone we're around. And then to get purposeful and find people, seek people out. It is part of the Great Commission. And that is why our country is going the way it's going. It's because Christians are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, in my opinion. We need to be filled with the Spirit and allow the love to come through. And I don't think there would be as many characterizations of Christians if people actually saw more real Christians go out and show the love of Christ. But yet, the world does also is at enmity with God. So I'm not going to say that it's a perfect line, but we just need to do our job. Put the ball in their court. Say, Lord, I've done what you asked me to do. And if the Lord giveth growth to it, praise the Lord. But you plant, you water, I plant, you water. Let's do some things and give some increase and let the Lord do it. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Ephesians 3:16. Though he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And so again, I think that the way that I like to look at it is, the inner man is after we're saved. It's the new birth. It's like, we had a baby. She's getting older now, and she was the one that was a little loud before service. But when she was born, she couldn't eat food. Like, she had to have milk from her mom. But she couldn't have water, couldn't have food. She had to grow up into eating real food. Now, at 1.5, she's able to eat more solid foods, able to do more things. But yet, you still just can't, like, give her a raw steak and say, cook it up and make it. There's still a learning process that comes with that, too. She's able to eat it if you make it for her. So, you guys might be ready for the strong meat if I give it to you from the pulpit, but are you ready to go find the strong meat in the Bible yourself? Are you ready to go dig into the Word of God and say, Lord, help me where I just don't understand things? Like, I don't know what I'm reading about today, Lord, but teach me. Teach me by your Spirit. Or are we just constantly going to self-help books? Are we constantly reading commentaries? Are we constantly just doing what the world does and putting it into Christian framework? Because I fear that that's what happens a lot. And I fear that people use the name of Christianity and churches, but yet don't pull their beliefs out of the Bible on a consistent basis. And I think if Christians were reading their Bibles in the pews, it would be harder for them that to get away with. And so it's a double-edged sword. The preacher has to do it right, and God will judge him harsher. Too much is given, much is required. But there's also congregations that are looking for people that'll tickle their ears. They're seeking people out that'll tickle their ears. So don't be those people. Let's be people that are like Bereans and search the scriptures daily to make sure what we're taught is from the Bible. To go along with the inner man, I don't have it in your guys' portion here. Another scripture here that comes to mind, and it is to go along with just learning, growing. 2 Peter 3:18, and if you guys have your Bibles ready, you can turn to Ephesians 4, and I'm going to read some scriptures out of there as well. But 2 Peter 3:18 says, But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Well, you guys are still turning to Ephesians. We're going to read Titus 3:14, and it says, And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. And so, in Titus there, I think it's a good practical application that if you learn to do good works and maintain good works, you won't be unfruitful. The opposite of that is if you don't learn to do good works, by default, you're going to be unfruitful. And so, we have two options there. We as Christians, which way are we going to go? Do we want to learn? Sometimes it's not fun to learn. Sometimes learning's hard. Right? But the Lord is going to give us the tools necessary to do it. This is not like public schools. This is not like college. The Lord is a different teacher. And He will lead you graciously, but He will also chasten every one of His sons. And so if you're a child of God and you're walking out step of what the Lord wants, He's going to discipline you. And that's something that our Lord is perfect. He loves perfectly. He disciplines perfectly. We don't. So we don't fully understand that. We need to learn about Him. He's perfect. And we have a lot that we could extract from that. So if you're in Ephesians 4, we're going to look at verses 22 through 24. And it reads, That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And I'd like to just couple that verse there with what we read earlier. In Galatians 5:16, it says, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And so, again, we need to learn how to walk in the Spirit. What is walking in the Spirit? And how do I do it more thoroughly? How do I grow into that? Because where my daughter is walking at 1.5 is different than where Hugo walks at 6. And where I walk at 36. There's different levels of steps that we can take. Okay? Now, what we need to find is a church that is able to find, that have a congregation that is willing to say, hey, we started with the pure milk, the sincere milk of the word, the easy doctrines. We liked listening to preaching. But we need to take it a step farther. Let's take some ownership and say, okay, now it's just not the preacher that's going to fill me. Because now I've been given the ministry of reconciliation, the Bible says. If you're saved, you've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Like Brother Steve said in announcements, we have the tools. We can do it. Where are we at? Are we asking the Lord to show us those people? Are we asking the Lord to break our hearts for those people? What are we doing as Christians to say, Lord, help me glorify you. Help me bring glory to your name. Because at the end of the day, that is my job as a Christian, is to do work for the Lord and then say, that's because God is good, but it's not because of my strength. The Lord has taught me, the Lord has shown me that the weaker I am and the more humble I am, the more the Spirit of God will come through. And we all as Christians have that ability. But where pride is, the Spirit of the Lord isn't flowing. We need to not hinder the flow of the Lord by our pride. We need to not hinder the flow of the Lord by our traditions and our schedules. because we're very structured in America. And it's a horrible thing, but it is something that we can say, hey, am I putting my schedule in front of the Lord Jesus? Because it's obvious everyone in our hearts and minds knows that that's not okay. But do we do it? And do we just go through the motions sometimes? Yes, I do. I'm going to say that there's people in here that do. We just need to be honest with the Lord. And the Lord is not this taskmaster, mean guy up in heaven either that some people might paint him out to be. But he's also not this lovey-dovey, you get away with everything God either. So his love is perfect, his justice is perfect because he's holy. We don't understand holiness. We get a glimpse of it, and we get to read about it, and we get to put our faith and trust in it. But at the end of the day, that's what we're waiting for, is to live in holiness, to be in front of glory, to take this body of death and to let it go so that the glorious Lord will revive my body and I will be like him in heaven. Like, that is what we need to be looking forward to. But the Lord didn't just take us to heaven after we got saved. Still here. We got work to do, and everyone's work is different. So, learning and growing in the Lord through the new man is a lifelong process which is known as sanctification. Ephesians 5, verses 26 and 27, I believe, are very good reference points for that. And I talked about it a little bit earlier, but I don't think that you can do this enough. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And so, what's your spot? What's your wrinkle? What's your any such thing? You fill in the gaps. I don't know what they are. The Lord wants to fix those, clean those up, and present us, presented to him, as a glorious church. We're undefiled. That's what he wants from us as believers. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, also just about the growth and just that it's something that's not going to end until Christ comes back. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus. And in simple terms, I just put on here, in simple terms, sanctification is the process of a believer becoming more like Christ or more like Jesus. And so to get to the thing here, to get to the point of growing, kids grow. We grow physically. Jesus said you must be born of the flesh and then born of the spirit. So I've covered a little bit of my family's growth, different age groups, different stuff like that, to see just how the physical side works. But after we're saved, we don't get to see the spiritual growth per se like how we see you physically grow up. But I think if you're someone who's read your Bible a lot, studied, took notes, when you go back and you read scriptures that you've put notes on before, it is like an aha moment to say, man, I forgot that's where I was at that point. And if you put a date on it and say, hey, you people that journal, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because you'll go back and you'll say, wow, the Lord answered that prayer. Wow, God did that. That's not something I'm thinking about. God has taken that away. God has done this. It's amazing, though, today, it's hard to list all those things because our minds forget things. And I've said this before, and it's not a Bible truth, but it's an Eric truth. To prove that we're in a cursed world, we forget the things we want to remember, and we remember the things we want to forget. Our minds are messed up. And if yours isn't, then I'm just alone on this. But we need to understand that there is a curse against us. And the Lord has created freedom for that curse. And if you're saved, that's the curse. It has been eradicated. Like, his righteousness was placed on your unrighteousness so that now you can live for Christ. Okay? So, we need to keep that also in perspective, though. So we get saved, and then we do good things. And we do it for the Lord. Right? It's to give him glory. It's because he's asked us to. If you love me, obey my commandments. Yeah. Right? Don't just say you love the Lord, or he loves the Lord, she loves the Lord. I just don't place that on a lot of people, because I don't know if they obey the commandments. If you love the Lord, that's a big thing. Right? It's not something to just flippantly throw out there and say, I love Jesus, I love the Lord. If you truly love the Lord, then absolutely amen. You should say it. But we need to keep that also in perspective too. That Jesus' name is not one to just be thrown around. And we as Christians should take a stance and a stand that says, our Lord is good. Don't drag him in the mud. Because he's been drug in the mud in cultures since he died. Since he was really alive. For 2,000 plus years, they've been dragging him in the mud. And so, don't allow that to influence you. And when you hear it, stand up for the Lord, because he's worthy to stand up for.
Amen.
The believer must learn to nourish the new creature from the birth to perfection. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 and 2. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. And so, obviously, if you're familiar with the Corinthian church, they had a lot of problems. Like, it's really hard. If the Lord didn't call these people saved, it'd be hard to understand that they're saved.
Right.
Like, it's the things that they're doing are just perverse. We live in a perverse culture. That seems to be more perverse, or equally in areas. But at the end of the day, they were not ready for the meat of the word, because they were babes in Christ. So babes in Christ need to be grown up to a place where they can digest food. They can sit on it, meditate on it, understand it. How does that happen? Hebrews 5 verses 12 through 14. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by the reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so, like I said again, when you grow up in the faith, that's when you can start to understand between good and evil. Because when you first get saved, you're also bringing in your culture, your worldview that you had before you were saved. So whatever you were taught by your parents or schools or educators, whoever was pouring into your life, you bring that into your salvation. And we need to understand that that works. Our understanding of good and evil. And that's why we live in a day and age that they can call good evil and evil good. And they can pass bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Because they are not even babes in Christ. They're unsaved. But yet babes in Christ also just need to learn how to move from that. Appropriate the truth of Scripture so that you can move on to the strong meat. Because in Hebrews 5 it's very interesting, and it says the first principles of the oracles of God. So the messages of God, the thoughts of God, the words of God. You shouldn't need to be taught again. Like, you're taught once, and then you should actually be able to learn a little bit. Now, that doesn't say you don't go to church anymore, because the same author of Hebrews also says to not forsake the assembly of yourself together. So that's not what this is saying, but this is, we do need to understand that there is a personal growth that the Christian needs to accept, adapt, and then flourish. Learn how to utilize that. But it is a progression, and churches aren't teaching doctrines heavily from the pulpits. Bible studies are diminishing. Churches are just diminishing. People seeking the truth, it's harder to find. And then when people aren't preaching the truth, it's a real problem. And we look at our country and say, why has it went bad? Spiritually, we're bankrupt. That's why it's went bad. We need Christ to revive us. We talk about revival. Amen for the country. I need it in my house. I need it in my life. You need it in your life. We need it in all of our lives. Like, we need to be revived. Revive us again, like the song says. We need it. Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. And in perfection there, I have it highlighted. You know, when the King James was translated, the word perfection simply just meant complete, mature. In this day and age, that's the word people would probably use, is complete, mature. I would say that we need to understand, though, that there is principles that we get saved with, and then there's things that we move on to. And to be conformed to the image of the Son of God is what God wants us to do. We have to move on to perfection. We have to move on to completeness. We have to find out what God birthed for me when I was born again is not where He wants me to be today. And is not where He wants me to be in 5 years. Or in 5 days. He wants me to grow. And He wants me to be a vessel that says, Lord, where I'm wrong, show me and let me change. Give me the power to just do it. Because it's hard. Sometimes it's hard work to change. Habits, behaviors, heartaches. Some of them are very deeply wounded and ingrained into us. And so we have to move away from those things. But we have to identify them first. We have to be honest with ourselves. The Lord's